You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Yes, this is the Market Update, and yes, we are going to get into markets in just a second. Before we get to those, I just wanted to let everybody know that South Africa is leading Rwanda 1-0 6 minutes into the game. Bafana has scored, and we are hopefully going to maintain control of the game for the remainder of the game. Obviously, we'll run out of time for our show, so Michael Abramson will be able to give us a proper update around what happened with that game. But for now, let's get into markets. I'm joined on the line by the founder at Just One Lap and good friend Simon Brown to take a look at market movements throughout the day and see what we make of some of these movements. Si, lovely to have you on the show as always. Thanks so much for taking the time. The gold price almost touching $4,200 a fine ounce on the spot price. I imagine futures might have traded a little bit higher there, but seemingly momentum is just another word at this point. There's no stopping it.
Evening, Jimmy. Yes, speechless, isn't it? At this point in time, you're right. There is no stopping gold. This is now, and it's to be clear, only 2 days into the trading week. But this, we've had 8 green weeks in a row from gold, and if this week closes green, it'll be 9. And I can't find another time. I can find one other time we did 8. I can't find a time we did 9 green weeks. Gold has absolutely, after 4 months of trading in a sideways range, suddenly up, what, $700? I'm not sure I've ever seen it from gold.
Si, what does this then mean for the prospects of markets? I mean, at the moment, markets are weighing up a lot of tensions. Gold seems to be the flavor due to its safe haven appeal. And with everything that is happening, it seems safe havens are the order of the day. But do we have enough momentum to see 4,500, to see 5,000? I know you and I have looked at this and we didn't think we had enough momentum to even get to $4,000 an ounce. But it seems this is where we are now. This is our new reality.
Look, Jimmy, the simple answer is we will see $4,500 gold, we'll see $5,000 gold. I'll be so brave as to say maybe 10. The point is when. 10 is a long way away. $4,500, it really could happen this year. I mean, it really could. I'm not saying it would, but I didn't think we'd be, you know, above 4,100 in October. That was not on my radar for this year. There were some predictions. Merrill Pick from Old Mutual Investment Group, I think it was Goldman Sachs, were both saying sort of 4,500 by year end, and that's deeply possible. But it's a weird market. You talk around safe haven, and that's what gold is. But the risk on assets are also elevated. Crypto's off a bit, but it's still high. S&P, NASDAQ, I mean, they're down again this evening, but they're just off all-time highs. We're seeing American bonds being bought. It's a market that's both risk on and risk off, and I think that's a fundamental shift that's happening to a degree in terms of some people don't want to buy dollars anymore, and absent of that, they're largely buying gold.
As the popular kids would say, this wasn't on the bingo card for 2025. Si, let's look at international markets. The Nasdaq down about 1% at the moment. The Nikkei down about 2.5%, obviously being closed yesterday for the public holiday, but coming back to a weaker market in general. International indices at the moment are also feeling a bit of the pressure. But again, contextually, for the year, markets have done well.
They've done spectacularly well. I mean, it has been a more than ridiculous return so far for the year. I mean, the Nasdaq up 17%, the S&P up 12.9% as we speak. That's year to date. And let's be clear, those are better than long term averages, but by a healthy amount. The S&P long term average is probably closer to 8-ish, and while the Nasdaq it always has wild numbers. But I mean, our market is up over 30%. But it has been a very strong year, and there's been, if we look at offshore markets in the US, it's really been all around the AI. If we look at Europe, it's been mostly around defense, and to a degree a bit of power. South Africa, it's been a gold and PGM rally. It's been very specific and narrow in each market, but the runs have been absolutely spectacular.
So I want to move to the oil market quickly. The oil price dipping below $62 a barrel basically the last time I see that we were here recently, or the most recent time I see us dipping below $62 a barrel, was back in May of this year. We kind of bottomed out early in May around that $58 a barrel level, but that number very much in contention at this point. Nice to see a bit of reprieve on the oil price side of things, but we know that from an OPEC bloc perspective, they're not too comfortable with the oil price sitting on the lower end of their target range.
They're not, but Saudi Arabia is, and Saudi Arabia is trying to be best mates with President Trump, and he wants a low oil price. So they, I mean, OPEC Plus has been doing production increases for much of this year in the face of a declining oil price, as you say. I mean, very much at the bottom end of where they want to ultimately have an oil price. They would like it around 90 or 100, I imagine. But also just flooding the market with it, keeping that price lower. And Saudi Arabia's got the capacity to do it. They also want to. There's always an OPEC and OPEC Plus. There's some states which pump more than they're allocated. They cheat in theory, and this is one way of punishing them by pushing prices lower. And I mean, oil looks weak. It you know, from peaks in what mid 24 at around the 90, it's pretty much been going downwards, and looks like it's probably heading lower.
Sai, that clearly is a good thing for fuel prices. I mean, I'm looking at, as you said, heading lower seems to be, if we can break that 58 or 55 odd dollar a barrel level, we could very realistically see $40 a barrel. But that, I would imagine, would take quite a bit of doing, because the markets would not be happy with that figure. If we look at some of the other commodity prices, I mean, commodities have been driving a lot of market movements. Platinum almost $1,700 a fine ounce, palladium almost $1,600 at this point, even silver finding a bit of favor within the markets and within central banks. Somehow, amidst all of the uncertainty, amidst all of the tension, it is a good time to be a commodity trader, or even a company that deals in commodities, as our resource counters are?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. The commodities are booming, and yeah, there's so many others that we can throw into that mix. We can throw copper into it, even aluminium prices. I mean, there is at this point a really good driver of the more precious, and the industrial, the bulk commodities, iron ore, coal. They're still struggling. They're not doing as great. And what it is it's a reshoring of global trade under the Trump presidency. And if he's threatening tariffs left, right, and center, markets need to root around that. The US sort of becomes a problem, and they need to root around. They also want to secure supply and the like. And I think that's what we're seeing, which is pushing, because certainly what we're not experiencing is you know, robust growth. To be clear, there's growth coming out of the US. A lot of it is AI driven. But if you look at the forecasts out for next year and into 27, they are typically lower than expectations for 2025. This is happening, I think, in a shift. And there's also the process. Copper mines quickly, like Chile, you used to be able to get a mine up and running in 18 months. Now it takes 5 to 6 years. There's a lot more red tape, so not much new green developments.
Speaking of copper, Simon, before I let you go, I can't let you go without looking at this that seems to have just made its way onto the bingo card for the year. Harmony Gold pushing ahead with that MAC Copper acquisition in Australia, around a $1.03 billion valuation at around $12 per share. They're looking to completely acquire that mine, and that puts them squarely in the copper space. And exactly to your point that you just made, Sai, it's no green projects. It's an existing mine, existing output, existing operations, but diversifies Harmony.
It does. And Jimmy, I can't work out where I sit with it. Harmony used to be a pure gold play, like Goldfields, AngloGold Ashanti, DRD, and these are the locally listed mines. Of course, there's offshore as well. And they were pure gold plays, and you knew what you got on the sticker. Gold price boomed, the miner boomed significantly more. Now you're going to copper, and we've got a similar situation in a sense in Sibanye with PGMs and gold. Now there's the two commodities there, and you know, at the moment the gold move makes all miners rich, doesn't matter what else you mine. But at certain points, do they work against each other? I'm not sure. I generally a fan of the single commodity miner. That does mean that you've got to get your timing right. But the truth is, copper's the new gold. There's no AI and electric stuff, etc., without a lot of copper.
Copper might just be the new gold, and perhaps miners are seeing that and getting in whilst they still can. We'll keep an eye on that, but for now we'll leave this conversation on that note. Thanks so much to Si for those insights and for this time. Simon Brown, founder at Just One Lap, joining us to take a look at market movements and perhaps some of the key market sectors.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.